This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
You're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that's most comfortable in jeans and a t-shirt. Today is May 30th, 2006. On Memorial Day weekend, more than 100 artists from all across the country descended on downtown Decatur to display and perform their art at the Decatur Arts Festival. Rusty was there to capture the sounds and speak with some of the artists, including a stained glass designer, a funky folk artist, a cat painter, a liner cut printer, and even a cowboy poet.
My name is Peter Shanley, and I'm from Ridge Banner, Florida.
Okay, and what? How did you hear about this festival?
This festival is listed in some of the publications that artists refer to, listing shows and their dates and times and such.
Okay. Have you been to other festivals like this?
Oh, yes. This is a full-time profession over the past almost 10 years.
Okay. And how does the Decatur Arts Festival compare to some of the other festivals you've been to?
Well, the setting for this festival is really quite lovely. All the interesting little shops around here, and we've found that the customers and all the volunteers are really friendly and nice to us, so that makes for a nice show for us.
Wonderful. Can you just tell me a little bit about your crafts here?
Yeah, this is all original stained glass artwork, and we create our own designs, and we do all the work ourselves. Everything is formed from various metals, and then the stained glass is cut and assembled and soldered.
So, and this has been a full-time profession for you?
Yeah, we've been doing this full-time for almost 10 years.
Neat. How do you guys do at this festival compared to some of the other festivals?
This is a very good festival. The people are interested in interesting different artwork, and they seem to be quite capable of purchasing such. So.
I'm Rhonda Kuhlman.
Okay, and where are you from, Rhonda?
I live in San Antonio, Texas.
So you came all the way to Decatur, Georgia.
I did.
From San Antonio.
And, right.
And all the way apparently isn't as far as some of us might think it is. Correct?
I don't think it's that far. I like coming this way.
Neat. How'd you hear about the Decatur Arts Festival?
Well, I really like Atlanta, and I do a couple of other shows here, which are kind of folk arty shows, and a lot of people kept telling me about it, and it's turned out to be great. It's a great crowd. It's a really cute part of town, and
cool.
I like it.
How does this compare to other festivals you've attended?
I do lots of different kinds of stuff,
mm-hmm.
And my least favorite being street fairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because my stuff is kind of in lots of museums,
yeah.
And it's a very kind of folk-arty thing, so I like to be in kind of a certain situation, but this is fabulous. I mean, it's a really nice crowd. It's a really kind of nice neighborhood, and
cool. You
know what I mean? It
yeah.
seems very family oriented and kids,
yeah.
And there's not like some obnoxious
yeah.
band and beer. Well, you know what I mean? Some street fairs, they're like, they're drunk, and you're
yeah.
like, great, could you quit slobbering?
Quit slobbering on the bottle caps.
Right.
Well, could you tell me a little bit about the crafts here?
So, what I do is I'm really kind of a funky folk artist, and I really and truly collect all these bottle caps. They're 1920s to 1960s, and I'm really into kind of like all those independent soda companies, kind of before Coke and Pepsi took
yeah.
over the world. And they are just great pieces of American advertising. They have funny logos and funny, quirky little names. And so I collect all the bottle caps, and I collect lots of imagery and movie star posters and comics, and that's all vintage as well. And then I just combine it all together and kind of make home accessories, clocks out of 78 records, and jewelry out of bottle caps. And kind of fun, functional art objects.
Neat. Financially, how would you say you do here compared to other places?
I did really well yesterday, and that was really flattering.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, and it's a nice amount of hours. And
nice.
Yeah, so I want to come back.
Here with James Dean at the Decatur Arts Festival. If you could just, you do the Pete the Cat paintings, right?
Correct.
Can you just tell me a little bit about them?
Well, I never really expected to draw pictures of cats for a living. I did landscapes before Pete, and for 7 years I've been drawing pictures of Pete the Cat now, and Pete was just a cat that I had for a short period of time, and he wandered off. but he just totally changed my artwork.
Neat. So you're making a living drawing Pete the Cat now?
Yes, I'm making a meager living, I guess, but I'm happy with what I'm doing, and I've been doing this full time for 10 years.
Wow, that's where else is? I know we've seen Pete around downtown Decatur, you know, with the Decatur paintings.
Right.
Where else might we see Pete?
Actually, Pete just went to New Orleans 3 weeks ago for the jazz festival, and we sold Pete on Royale Street, and that was a big thrill. So Pete's getting more and more places.
Neat. What do you like about the Decatur Arts Festival specifically?
The people.
Neat.
The people of Decatur have just been so supportive, and for instance, last year it rained. Mm-hmm. And people came out with umbrellas, and I've never been to a festival where usually if it rains, you might as well go home. But the people are just great out here.
That's interesting. Also, are you from Decatur?
I lived here for a while, and that's where I came up with the Decatur idea. So.
Neat. So where are you living now?
I live south of here near McDonough, sort of out in the country.
Neat. So what other festivals have you attended?
I do a good many festivals right around Atlanta, and like I say, we went to New Orleans, and we've done some festivals in Florida, but we sort of stay sort of right around here right now. So.
Neat. I overheard that you have a book coming out soon. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I actually have a real hardcover book coming out, and it's being shipped, and I hope that it gets here in time for the scene opening on June 17th.
I'm here with Catherine Lynn of Lynn Print Works at the Decatur Arts Festival. And you do, what are these called?
They're called lino cuts or linoleum block prints.
Nate, what do these entail? When you make one of these?
Well, basically what they are is they're carvings that are printed onto paper to produce the actual artwork. So what I do is I make a drawing first, and then I transfer that backwards, sort of like with a carbon paper type thing. I transfer that onto a piece of linoleum, which is not quite what you would think of as like kitchen linoleum. It's a little bit different. And I transfer it on there, and then I use hand tools, engraving tools and gouges to carve out the white areas. So wherever you want it to be white, you have to cut that away. And then when it's printed, the ink is rolled over the surface, and wherever you've cut doesn't collect any ink, and that's how you get your whites and blacks. And then I put a piece of printmaking paper on top and roll it through a press, and then pull that away and get a mirror image of the block.
We're looking at a Plaza Drugs print here. How long does it take to make the linoleum for one of these?
Oh, that's a very common question, and it's something I really can't answer in a general sense, because a lot of times the drawing portion of it takes just as long as the carving for me. I try to get as much information as I can into my drawings. But typically, I mean, something of this size, this is actually a 1x2 foot block, and it's kind of large. If I worked only on this, I'd say it would take me about a month.
Okay. So how do you choose the scenes that you decide to do?
Well, for many years, I have been working on a series of kind of nostalgic landmarks around the city of Atlanta that are pretty much tied to my own experiences and growing up here. And
how does Plaza Drugs tie into your experience growing
that's
up?
That's kind of a high school memory. I used to go to school down the street from there in high school, and used to go in there quite a bit during that time. And you know, I always liked it. It was kind of junky and a mess back then, but it was really cool still.
Now, what about the painting of the Claremont Lounge and the Claremont Hotel back here?
I've done quite a few Claremont images now, and I really enjoy the hotel, just the architecture of the building, the signs, the tower. The Claremont Lounge has always been a draw, and people, I mean, it's certainly a unique establishment in Atlanta, and a lot of people have had an experience or two in there, and so that's you know, it's just part of my Claremont series, really.
Yeah, I've seen some of those around some of my friends' houses, actually. Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen your work before I even came out here. But what about... We've got the Starlight Drive-In. We've got... what are some of the other scenes that you've...
I've actually I've hit a lot of the local haunts. A lot of stuff in Virginia Highlands. Several barbecues. Got some. You want specifics? Names?
It couldn't hurt.
Okay. Well, I did Moe's and Joe's. I've actually done two Moe's and Joe's. Got a George's. I'm actually working on Atkins Park right now. I have some of the places that are no longer here, which is actually a pretty important portion of my artwork, because Atlanta is just letting go of so many of its kind of cultural icons, and, you know, with very little fanfare. So.
Yeah. They're tearing down that Wachovia building at the corner of Peachtree and North Avenue, which a lot of people have told me they think is an ugly building,
right.
But I think the architecture in it is kind of neat myself, but... anyway, how did you get into this artwork to begin with? Where did you sort of find it?
Well, I always knew, I was always an artist. I mean, since I was a kid, I always knew that's what I wanted to do. But actually, I was introduced to printmaking in high school, and the initial draw of it was that I could make more than one of something. You know, I always have loved that about printmaking, that I can keep one for myself. It may be a selfish reason, but I can keep one for myself and I can share them with other people. So that was certainly a draw. But also, I really enjoy the process. There's a lot of process involved in all different kinds of printmaking. You know, this is a fairly simple form. There are other things that I do also that involve chemistry and, you know, various other steps to achieve the final image. But I enjoy those processes, and I enjoy working on a surface other than, you know, a paper or a canvas necessarily, and using something other than a paintbrush to do my work with, you know. So I think that it's a broad range of things. And also, I really don't have a problem with working backwards. I think my mind works well that way. I think maybe it's a left-handed thing. I'm not quite sure, but...
I'm left-handed.
Are you? Yeah.
I
don't have a problem with it at all, which is kind of nice. Otherwise, it could be, you know, much more challenging.
Yeah. I'm with John Joyner, the Georgia cowboy poet. If you could just tell me a little bit, why cowboy poetry? How'd you get into it?
Cowboy poetry originated in the West and is quite popular out there. In fact, almost every weekend during the year, you can go to two or three cowboy poetry gatherings, and I go out there every year during the summer and fish, and I ran into one of these, and I went in and I really enjoyed it, and I said, that looks like fun, and so I sat down, and it seemed like writing poetry was easy to me, and then that's how it started, and I've been out there for 15 years, but now in Georgia, we have a Booth Western Museum. Somebody put 30 million plus into a house, I mean into a museum, filled it with Western art, and endowed it heavily. And so now we may be able to bring this cowboy poetry to the East. It's in some of the schools in North Georgia, and we're going to be meeting with the city of Decatur about putting it in Decatur schools.
You said, during your performance here, that, let's see, the Japanese quarter horse was your signature poem,
yes.
Correct? What was the inspiration behind that?
The story. It was an absolutely true story. Everything about that story was true. My aunt was just a big prankster, and she did the tax return and listed a Japanese quarter horse as a deduction and then died. And the IRS called my uncle in on it, and he couldn't figure out what in the world that was. So that was an absolutely true poem.
Here are a few verses from John Joyner's The Japanese Quarter Horse.
A stock in the yard, but reading and ciphering were not his trump card. So Betty, his bride of low many years, kept books for the ranch while Bob tended steers. But as fate would have it, Betty passed on, leaving Bob with the chores they had shared for so long. Bob said he could handle the grief and despair, but keeping ranch records he just could not bear. One day in the mail came a missile of dread. It was from the IRS. And here's what it said. Report on next Monday to our Billings address to audit your taxes and cause you distress. So Bob packed his suitcase and headed on out to confront the unknown with a head full of doubt. Arriving in Billings along about 10 after a brief introduction, his ordeal began. An IRS agent looked at me and he said, "You know, Bob, I've really only one question about your return. It's this Japanese quarter horse. That's my big concern. You know, the law just don't allow you to deduct a horse. I need an explanation or I'll have no recourse." Well, Bob was befuddled at what Betty had done. A Japanese quarter horse? We sure ain't got none. He pondered and pondered. Then on came the light. A Japanese quarter horse. That's our new Honda bike.
Don will release a collection of his poems soon. Call him at 404-373-7902 if you're interested in purchasing a copy. Email Peter Shanley at www.psglassarts@msn.com for more information about his stained glass designs. Visit funky folk artist Rhonda Coleman's company, Recycled Works, at recycledworks.com. You can see Catherine Lynn's liner cuts at linprintworks.com. That's linprintworks.com. And you can view James Dean's Pete the Cat paintings at petethecat.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you know a Georgia band or a hippie with a guitar that would like to have their music featured in a podcast, have them contact us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com. This way, the ending of the shows won't seem so abrupt.